and welcome to Measure Up, the podcast for transformational school leaders. I'm Nicole Alioto, CEO of Alla Brava Consulting and author of, put it this way, maybe this way, Your School Sucks, Why Schools Fail to Measure Up and What to Do About It. Thanks for joining us this week. Were you one of the people tuning in this week to the New York State Board of Regents meeting where they discussed the Blue Ribbon Commission report on graduation measures? In case you missed it, there is a plan to completely overhaul the educational system in New York State. The presentation shared with the Board of Regents was titled New York Inspires. Now, the idea of this new system is something that really anybody can get behind and support. It's providing multiple pathways to graduation and not rely on only Regents exams, which are multiple in order to graduate in New York State. And there was discussion of not requiring kind of the traditional seat time or Carnegie units for graduation. Where I'm looking most at this report is regarding the data and assessment implications, the timeline, and the reality. Much of this work is themed around the New York State portrait of a graduate seen here. As you can see, there's critical thinking, innovative problem solving, cultural competence, effective communication, etc. Again, these are all topics that educators and most community members could agree with. And it might look a little familiar to those of you who've been in education for a while because they look similar to the 21st century skills that we were talking about for a few decades. Here is the framework for 21st century learning that many of us are familiar with. Take a look at some of the elements within this framework. We see life and career skills, we see core subjects, information media technology, there are elements of critical thinking, communication. So, very similar in terms of the elements in each one of these frameworks. The big difference is that the 21st century framework were guidelines and suggestions, not requirements. So, taking a look at the portrait of a graduate, this framework will become the graduation goal, if you will. Are we ready to measure these things now? We weren't quite ready when we were looking at the 21st century framework. It was a challenge to get all of those elements in place, let alone measure them all. So, are we ready to measure them now? Will we be ready in 5 years from now? Will we be ready in 5 years from now across all subjects and across all grade levels? Will we be ready in 5 years across all subjects and all grade levels after the curriculum has been completely revamped? See where I'm getting concerned? One of the topics in my new book, Your School Sucks, is about the measurement foundation that exists or doesn't exist in many teacher preparation programs. In order to create consistent assessments that will measure the elements of the portrait of graduate, as well as revamped learning standards, one will need to have knowledge of psychometrics to ensure that we have reliability across methods. It's not just one measurement, it's multiple measures. We want to ensure validity of the inferences about the constructs being measured, and we may want to establish concurrent validity, which I'll talk about a little later. Maybe I'm being too much of a Chicken Little here, like the sky is falling around us. So let's take a look at some of the slides presented at the Board of Regents meeting last Monday and look at the timeline a little more closely. Here's the timeline. It's a phased approach, and you can see that it starts the planning years right now, and full implementation is proposed for fall of 2029. Now, I said proposed because nothing has been official, nothing has been adopted, and nothing is technically required yet, but we can see where things are headed. And if you take a look at the timeline, it's actually a little less than 5 years before full implementation hits, should it be adopted. I selected a few slides from the presentation to focus on where measurement was discussed or assessment had been addressed. So I'll show each one of these a little bit more closely and share some of my thoughts as I saw these slides being discussed. In adopting the New York State portrait of a graduate, there was some stakeholder feedback collected. Some of the challenges identified included measuring of the competencies, We know that if we can't define it accurately, we can't measure it. And measuring these competencies will be critical to clearly define what they are in order to include them in instructional practices and then ultimately measure them. Sunsetting diploma assessment requirements. There was a slide around challenges and opportunities, and measurement was discussed in each one regarding student progress monitoring. I sat in on one of the forums where challenges and opportunities were discussed, and student progress monitoring came up quite a bit. There was also concern about tracking. How are we going to collect all of these data and track each student's pathways within existing systems? Is it possible? Is it realistic to think that we can do all of that across multiple measures and across subject areas? So student progress monitoring was definitely a challenge, and one of the opportunities was around multiple pathways to demonstrate proficiency. I look at that opportunity is great. Yep, that's there. But with the challenge of student progress monitoring, then the answer isn't that the challenge is monitoring, so we're going to have multiple pathways. It's that we're going to have multiple pathways, which presents a challenge for monitoring. And then ultimately, what is the opportunity that we have? The opportunity really has to look at what are the logistical requirements to be able to properly track and monitor every student's new pathway that will get them to the one diploma that is desired as we implement this new system. Little bubble that's coming out of this individual's mouth in the slide is about new ways to demonstrate proficiency aligned to interest, learning style, and content. And just showing what students know and what they can do. Assessments should be doing that already, showing what they know and what they can do. If we only have one or the other, we have to evaluate what are we missing. And then we have to determine moving into this new multiple pathways approach, how are we going to do that across subjects, across grades, using multiple measures so every student potentially can show proficiency in a different way? Or is it every classroom? And there are a lot of variables at play here, no pun intended. But you can see where the tracking is going to be a challenge. And yes, it's an opportunity to provide multiple pathways to demonstrate proficiency, but logistically, it will require knowledge, skills, and abilities on the staff part to develop psychometrically sound assessments that are demonstrating proficiencies. There's a section around redefining credit and learning experiences. I want to talk about those two slides briefly because they also have some components of measurement. The educator feedback one came up as well. It's important for students to be empowered in their learning, not just memorizing information for a test, but making connections. Absolutely. I think that is something that as educators, we want students to derive meaning and connection in what they're learning. I've always said, if you can't answer the so what question or so when will I ever use this, then there's a little bit more that we can be discussing around a subject area. So here in the educator feedback, there is recognition that learning experiences can include internships, capstone projects, portfolios, project-based learning, community service. There are a variety of learning experiences. Now, assessing all of these experiences, aligning them to the learning standards, again, it'll be a challenge. A capstone project, a portfolio, and project-based learning-related assessment will all require different approaches. They will require clearly defined rubrics that are implemented in a consistent way. And think about inter-rater reliability. We need to make sure that if rubrics are being utilized, that everyone is applying them the same way. There needs to be regular calibration against those rubrics. But I should say we probably need to have some discussions about developing those rubrics. And when will that happen? Here's a challenge that came up with the redefining credit and learning experiences. Monitoring student progress. Here it is again. We can have all of these options. We can have redefined credits, redefined learning experiences. How will all of it be tracked? How will we be able to find each student's path and make sure they are getting the progress toward graduation that is desired? There's also standardization of assessments. We need variation of assessment, multiple measures, but this idea of standardization of assessment, standardize in that, what is it that we're measuring and implementing across students? Standardization doesn't necessarily mean the exact same thing for every single person, but it is about, is each one of these assessments measuring the learning standards to the same degree so that we're sure each student is demonstrating proficiency and the results are giving us a true indication of what they know and they can do. Now, here is the timeline of the implementation with a little bit more detail. Again, I'm going to blow this up a little bit so you could see it more clearly because, as I mentioned earlier, we're within 5 years should this get adopted. Let's take a look. Within this school year, the goal would be to finalize the portrait of graduates. So we talked about that earlier. Then take a look at 26, 27. We see the prioritized reformatted learning standards. So 2 years from now, that would be rolled out. There would be guidance on the portrait of a graduate with rubrics. And the following year, 27, 28, so that's about 3 years away, there would be one diploma, not multiple diplomas as we have now. The diploma assessment requirements as they exist now would be sunset. And there would be final guidance around the prioritized reformatted learning standards. So take a look at the overall timeline closely. The learning standards are finalized the same year that the diploma assessment requirements are sunset. The new assessments aligned to prioritized learning standards are scheduled for 2 years after that. Yeah, you read that right. No, I'm seeing here new assessments are aligned and implemented 5 years from now, but the one diploma requirements kicks in 3 years from now. So I'm not sure how we're going to have one diploma that has multiple pathways and a completely overhauled curriculum, but we don't have new assessments. Okay, we're gonna be experiencing the poltergeist effect. Okay, what's the poltergeist effect? I talk about it in my book. Do you remember the scene from Poltergeist where the character, the dad character, is talking with the land developer after his family's home has been kind of terrorized by these demon ghosts and realizes that the house was built on an ancient burial ground? So what the dad says to the land developer was pretty much, you moved the headstones, but you left the bodies. You only moved the headstones. You only moved the headstones. So, looking at this timeline for implementation, if we're changing curriculum and we're going to one diploma within 3 years, but our assessments aren't fully changed and implemented until 2 years after that, then we're going to have the situation where you've changed the curriculum, but you didn't change all the assessments. You only changed the curriculum. You only changed the curriculum. We don't want the poltergeist effect. When we're developing learning standards and defining portrait of a graduate, we need to have clear definitions that allow us to have clear measurements. If we aren't thinking about measurements at the time of the development of these definitions and the design of the learning standards, then we are doing the entire education system a disservice. So we really need to be looking at them in conjunction with one another to ensure that as new curriculum is implemented, that we have sufficient ways to measure the success of students in learning the skills and demonstrating their abilities. Let's take a quick peek at the current model versus the proposed transformational model. I'll show this up close a little bit here too. You can see right now we've got the three diploma types. There's the push to go to one diploma. Before is a twofold system where, again, units of study and mostly regents for graduation. Evidence-based is the new where you've got multiple measures. Now, the regents aren't going away. I saw a headline recently where it implied that, and everybody in the comments was like, yeah, finally, we're getting rid of it. They're not going away. They're just not going to be required in the same way. There'll still be a way to demonstrate evidence and they will be available. And think about it for places that don't have all of the resources to create a completely new assessment system. The regions will be the easiest one to implement because it's already in place, number one. Number two, doesn't cost anything. So the regions aren't going away. They're just going to have less impact on students who are able to show their knowledge, skills, and abilities in different ways. And there'll be one measure of evidence in districts that have the ability to create and collect evidence of multiple measures of ability. So again, with this transition pending at the time of this video, nothing has been finalized yet. How will your staff prepare for this complete overhaul of the education system? What training does your staff need in order to build a comprehensive performance-based assessment program built on new learning standards? How can you start the transition today and offer multiple measures to students now in order to establish concurrent validity? So in that case, you may have an assessment already, traditional one, maybe it's multiple choice with some short answer. And you might want to also offer a performance-based assessment of the same learning standards and compare the results. Are you getting similar results? And is proficiency able to be demonstrated in multiple measures and giving students the choice of which one they would want to use to demonstrate their proficiency? This is one way to start establishing a new method of measurement for your students. Are you prepared to justify that your new assessments, again, thinking ahead for the next 5 years, are you prepared to justify that your new assessments measure the learning standards, including the elements of the portrait of a graduate that we shared earlier? Can you justify the results to parents, to employers, and to colleges? Because as they look at new transcripts that are coming out based on the new learning standards and based on new assessments, and if there's a question about, are these truly reflective of what students know and are able to do? Do you have enough evidence to say with certainty, yes, these assessments are demonstrating and are established, and I feel confident that they are accurately measuring students' proficiency in the new learning standards. Now, I recognize this is a heavy lift for most schools, even schools that are more prepared and have more performance-based or project-based assessments within their walls. For schools that might not have staff dedicated to revamping the entire assessment program or that have limited resources to apply to the assessment redesign, the time to get started is now. I don't mean scrapping everything that you're doing, but how can you start to roll in more of these performance-based tools that not only measure the learning standards, but measure these other competencies that are part of the portrait of a graduate? It's great that they're infused across the curriculum. And that's something that the old framework for 21st century skills did, said, let's infuse it across the curriculum. Let's embed it into instruction. But now we're getting to a point, if it's required for graduation, what evidence do you have that the students are critical thinkers, quality communicators, and problem solvers, and all the things that are under the portrait of a graduate? Now is the time to start getting those measurements in place because they're important, but we don't want to be caught without time when it's time to show that evidence. With all that, the conversation continues. If you have concerns about the assessment program in your school, how your measures align to the constructs within the portrait of a graduate, as always, send me an email at hello@olibreviconsulting.com, or you can join us this February as we have our Measure Up Mastermind that will assist with getting these constructs defined so you can measure them properly. The link is in the show notes, so if you're interested. And you can also grab a copy of Your School Sucks. We'll put that link in the comments and the notes as well. So a key takeaway, I know there's a lot going on. Again, the conversation will continue. The timeline is aggressive, but if you're going to start in one with one idea in one place to help make the most progress toward the future direction, is to clearly define the constructs that are being measured within your assessments. Every assessment that you have in your school should have an item map that aligns it to the learning standards, and then also now connecting it to the portrait of a graduate. So take a look at those, pull out those item maps. If you're saying, Nicole, I don't know what you're talking about. We don't have item maps. We just have assessments for our courses. We need to start to get down to the skills level, because as curriculum is revamped, those assessments will need to be revamped. And you want to make sure that those skills are truly being measured on your assessments, again, preventing the poltergeist effect. So that's a place to get started now, clearly ensuring that your current assessments are aligned to the skills that are within your courses, and then also to the portrait of a graduate elements, if possible. So with that, thank you for joining this week. There will be more in the coming weeks. So subscribe to our podcast. If you are watching on YouTube, then please turn on your notifications so you're aware of when the next episode becomes available. Have a significant week.